You know, I want to share with you a thought from this past week's parsha. At first, it's going to sound a little esoteric, but don't be fooled by the first part of the Dvar Torah. The Zohar says about Parshas Mishpatim that Parshas Mishpatim is the parsha of Gilgulim. The parsha of Gilgulim. Very cryptic statement. What's a Gilgul? A Gilgul means a neshama that was once in this world and has to come back to this world a second time, or maybe even a third time, because it didn't finish its mission. It didn't learn as much as it was supposed to learn. It didn't daven as much as it was supposed to daven. It didn't do as much chesed as it was supposed to do. It didn't give as much tzedakah as it was supposed to do. And it's a frightful concept. That's a very deep concept, which is not for now. The obvious question is, what on earth does that have to do with Parshas Mishpatim? Why is Parshas Mishpatim a parsha of Gilgulim? So I'll tell you an explanation found in the Sefer Degel Machne Ephraim. And it makes a lot of sense. The Degel Machne Ephraim explains, a person goes to Beis Din. That's what Mishpatim is really about. A person comes to Beis Din and he has a monetary dispute. Yankel owes me money. And the Beis Din is an emistic Beis Din. They're a good Beis Din, fine, good, righteous Dayanim. And they paskin against this fellow. And he says to himself, I'm so sure that I'm right. I'm 100% sure that I'm right. Sometimes you think you're right, you're not sure if you're right. Okay, Beis Din paskin, that's what Beis Din's for. This guy says to himself, I'm 100% sure that I'm right. I'm also 100% sure that the Dayanim sitting before me are Dayanim Mumchim, they're expert judges, and they're very fine, righteous people. So he says to himself, the Degel Machne Ephraim says, this fellow says to himself, I don't understand. The Torah is a Torah's emes. Torah is true. Derachel darchei noam, its ways are pleasant. This isn't pleasant. I know I'm getting ripped off by these Dayanim. And I know they're not doing it on purpose. And I can't. Why didn't Hashem allow them to be mechave into the emes? Why am I paying money to someone when I am 100% sure that he owes me money? Where is the Amitos HaTorah? Where is the Noam Derachel? Derachel Darchei Noam. It's supposed to be righteous and true and pleasant. This isn't pleasant. The Torah is not being a Torah's emes. So says the Degel Machne Ephraim, that's what it means that Parshas Mishpatim, chaver, listen. Parshas Mishpatim is a parsha of Gilgulim. Because maybe in your last lifetime, you bought something from Akiva, and you forgot to, you said, I'll pay you tomorrow, and you didn't pay back. So maybe, when your neshama comes back to this world, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is moving around the pieces to make sure that the people who you owed money to get paid. So maybe in the last time around, you took advantage of someone else, you didn't pay back. Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving you a chance in your next lifetime, so to speak, to pay back. And that's what it means. Parshas Mishpatim is a parsha of Gilgulim. That as you look at all of the dinim in this week's parsha, all of the matters that are brought before Beis Din, all of the fights, all of the disputes, you should realize that when the Beis Din paskins, an emes pika psach, and you don't understand it, realize there might be things behind the scenes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing that you don't yet understand. Okay? It's a little bit of a deep idea. But I want to tell you a much more pashut pshat, I think, in saying that Parshas Mishpatim is a parsha of Gilgulim. What does the word Gilgulim literally mean? Someone once came to the Chafetz Chaim to try out to be a Talmud in his yeshiva. Came to the Chafetz Chaim to try out to be a Talmud in the Chafetz Chaim's yeshiva. And he took his faher, he took his bechina, and guess what? He didn't get in. And the Chafetz Chaim said to him afterwards, he said, where are you sleeping tonight? You traveled all this way. Unfortunately, our yeshiva is not going to be for you. Where are you spending the night? And this young fellow who's trying out for yeshiva said, I'm not really sure. I have a couple options. I'm not really sure. So Chafetz Chaim said to him, I want you to stay by me. I want to take care of you. Rejected him from the yeshiva. He's not like he's investing in him. You know? He didn't get the welcome letter to Heichal Torah. You know, he didn't get the banquet dinner saying that he's been accepted. So Chafetz Chaim said, let him move on. Chafetz Chaim said, oh, you're welcome to stay by me. Not his Rosh Yeshiva, because he wasn't going to be his Rosh Yeshiva. And this young fellow stayed by the Chafetz Chaim. And that night, I saw this in a sefer called Nachlas Tzvi. He slept at the Chafetz Chaim's house. Chafetz Chaim gave him a nice dinner. And he gave him a nice warm bed. And it was a very cold night. It was a freezing cold night. And he said in the middle of the night, it was like 2 in the morning. It was a little bit cold. And he said, all of a sudden I woke up and I saw the Chafetz Chaim putting another blanket on top of me. Because here was such a tzaddik of a Jew that he was taking care of me with such care. The Chafetz Chaim got up in the middle of the night. He must have been freezing also. but he gave away, who knows, maybe his own blanket. So that this bachur, who was kicked out of his yeshiva, not kicked out, but was rejected from his yeshiva, would have a comfortable night's sleep. This bachur went on to join another yeshiva, and as time went on, he became not so observant. And many, many years later, this fellow would give large sums of money to yeshivas, to big yeshivas in Europe and Russia, and no one understood why. He wasn't a very firm person. He wasn't an observant person. He didn't learn Torah himself. He barely kept any mitzvos. And no one understood. And finally, someone asked him, why do you give money? Why do you give money to yeshivas? You're not a ben yeshiva. You're not even an observant person. And he says, because years ago, I remember how the Chafetz Chaim took care of me. And when I saw it, but this is what happens when a person learns Torah. They become so sensitive. Ben Adam al-Chavero. He said, I made a commitment then and there, regardless of how from or not from I'm going to be a person who has an appreciation for Torah and yeshivas. And he gave money to great Torah institutions. However, I think that's the Pasha Pshat in Parshas Mishpatim being a Parsha of Gilgulin. You never know how something's going to roll into the next thing. You never know how one little chesed that you do here is going to affect someone down the line. The Chafetz Chaim one time got up on a cold night and covered a poor yeshiva bach who was traveling around trying to find a place to learn. But it stuck with him in such a way that it kept rolling, and it kept rolling for years. How much money was given to yeshivas because of that one act of chesed? That's what it means. Parshas Mishpatim, a parsha filled with Ben Adam L'Chavero, realize, when you do something, it could roll into something. You have no idea where it's going to go. Mitzvah goreres mitzvah, God forbid, avera goreres avera. I read in the biography of Rav Avadia Yosef, there's not a lot of stories about Rav Avadia Yosef, who is mamish a gadol shebe gadolim, especially by the Svardim in Eretz Yisrael, made a revolution in Torah. Rav Avadia Yosef, when he was a little boy in Baghdad, his mother put him outside one day in his bassinet in the backyard. A hot day. And she went inside. And there's different luschos to the story, either a neighbor or maybe some help around the house saw a little baby Avadia Yosef in his bassinet, and she saw a venomous snake about to climb into the bassinet. And she ran and she grabbed the baby and she picked him and she saved the baby. Did she have any idea at the time that she saved this child what a child she was saving? One of the greatest Torah minds, certainly in recent times, maybe ever. Such a mastery of Kol Hashas, Rishonim, Achronim, Baal Peh, the whole thing, everything. Shalos and Tshuvos that we've never heard of and never will hear of. He knew Baal Peh. Do you think this non-Jewish woman who picked up this baby had any idea what type of Gilgulim this would cause? How far this would roll? But you never know. You do an act of chesed, you say a nice thing, you have no idea how far it could go. That Jew that the Chafetz Chaim had a little rachmanis on, he covered him with a blanket. It turned into years of support for so many yeshivas. It was an amazing tzaddik who passed away in 1928. He was known as the Ostrovtser. Ostrov is a place in Poland. But Meir Yechiel Halevi, I think Halstock was the family name. He was known as the Ostrovtser, from Ostrov, it's a place in Poland. And he said a beautiful, beautiful chiddush based on a Mishnah, Maseches Nedarim. What's an example, says the Mishnah, in the third parak of Nedarim, what's an example of a ridiculous neder? An absurd promise. So if a person says, I take upon myself, or I place upon someone else a prohibition on condition that I don't see a snake that looks like a beam of the olive press. I'm making a statement, a declaration, a promise, a neder. Again, forget the details, but it's based on whether or not I see a snake that looks like a beam of the olive press. So the Gemara says, of course, that's an absurd statement. There's no snakes that look that big. So the Gemara says, yes, maybe there is. The Gemara says, no, but what he meant to say, just like the press, the olive press beam, is taruf, so too if the snake has to be taruf. What does taruf mean? The Nemuke Yosef says taruf means square. So this fellow says, I'm taking a neder, right, on condition that I see or don't see a square snake. So obviously that's an absurd thing, because there's no such thing as a square snake. In fact, if you stop and think about it, the Ostrovtser said, Hashem didn't make anything square. There's nothing in the natural world that is square. So the Ostrovtser thought about this Mishnah, this Gemara in the Dharam Daf Chafei, and said, what's the pshat with that? Why is nothing square? There's nothing that's perfectly square in the natural world. Isn't that interesting? Why? Why is nothing square? The Gemara says in Shabbos, if you take something and you throw it, Shabbos Yud Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, if you throw something into Rishus HaRabim, 2 amos, and it bounces 4 amos, so you've changed from one Rishus to another Rishus, putter. You didn't, it was a weird bounce, you didn't expect it to bounce. But if you roll the ball, you expect it to roll. So Ashtavsar said, you know why Hashem didn't make anything square in the world? Because Hashem wanted us to realize that everything rolls. That everything causes something else. A person does a small aver and says, it's just a small aver, it's not going to lead to anything else. It's not true. A person does a small mitzvah, what's the big deal? It's just a small mitzvah. It's one word of Torah. It's not going to change anyone's life. You have no idea. A person has no idea what he's going to do. What's going to accomplish. A small thing that a person does in this world. A person has mamish no idea. I'll end with just one unbelievable story. I was asked some of the chaver if I told this story before. I don't remember telling it here. But then again, I don't remember a lot of things. So let's see. There was a yid from Yerushalayim who came to America who was collecting tzedakah for the organization Zaka. And he was on his way back to JFK Airport after a successful campaign of collecting. He didn't speak very much English, a real Yerushalmi yid, but he came and he collected, he did for the organization, very chashuv organization. He's on his way back to JFK Airport and his car runs out of gas. And he's stuck on the side of the road. Mamish stuck there on the side of the road, no cell phone, not sure what to do with himself, barely speaks English, totally lost. All of a sudden, a large car pulls up behind him. Big SUV, and this tall-looking African-American fellow gets out of the car and walks over to him. And he says to him, he says, you Jewish? So that much he understands in English. Yeah, I'm Jewish. You from Israel? So he says, yeah, I happen to be from Israel. So he says, just wait right here, I'll be right back. Fellow gets in the car and drives off. 15, 20 minutes later, pulls up behind the car, and he's carrying a gas, gets out of his car, he's carrying this container of gasoline, starts filling up his car. So this Israeli fellow is looking at this tall African-American looking fellow, and he, why, I don't understand. And he says to him, he says, I'm from Haiti. I guess he wasn't African-American, he was Haitian-American. He says, I'm from Haiti. My people are from Haiti. He says, a number of years ago, there was a terrible earthquake in Haiti. And he said, and many people sent different teams down to help out, to try to make a difference. He said, your people were the first ones there, and your people took care of my people. He said, I flew from America also to help out. Your people from Israel were the first ones there. And there was no one like the Israeli Jews who took care of my people with such sensitivity. I couldn't understand. You don't look like us. Culturally, you're completely different. Your values are completely... I couldn't understand. But I said to myself right then and there that if I ever meet a Jew, especially a Jew from Israel who needs help, I'm going to help him. That's what it means. Parshas Mishpatim. Chevra is the Parsha of Gilgul. Things roll in this world. There's nothing that's perfectly square in this world. Everything rolls. A mitzvah rolls into another mitzvah. An aveira, God forbid, rolls into another aveira. And as B'nai Yeshiva, that much more so you need to know this. And I'll just end with what the Chafetz Chaim used to tell his Talmidim. Chafetz Chaim told his Talmidim that if you walk out in the world, you should realize the hashpa you're having on the world as Talmid Chachamim. And the Chafetz Chaim said, but Rebbe, we're not Talmid Chachamim. We're not the Chafetz Chaim. We're Bachrim, we're learning. We're not Talmid Chachamim. The Chafetz Chaim said, if you have a yarmulke on your head, if you learn a little bit of Torah in the eyes of the world, you're a rabbi, you're a Talmid Chacham. You have to carry yourself in such a way to realize that the things you say, it rolls. It makes a difference. Chafetz Chaim did one nice thing, and it changed the way yeshivas in Europe were supported for a long period of time. A non-Jewish woman saved a little baby in a bassinet, and Klal Yisrael were zochet to a Rav Avadia Yosef. A Jew has to realize that every single thing we do rolls into something else. So Amir Tzashem, we should take that responsibility very seriously, and Amir Tzashem will be able to roll all the way to Mashiach Tzidkeinu B'mehera B'Yameinu.